You're tuned in to Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lisa Avery, bringing you a hip mix of swing, jazz, standards, Broadway, and a little bit of just about anything else. Right now, you're listening to Stella by Starlight. We've got Kenny Dorham on the trumpet, Rocky Boyd on the tenor sax, Walter Bishop Jr. on piano, Ron Carter on the bass, and Pete LaRocca on the drums. And I've got Dr. Billy Taylor on the line, and we're going to talk to him in just a minute and tell you all about his return to public performance at New York's Blue Note. Yeah, June 24th through the 29th. You just heard from Mr. Tex Ritter, and I got Spurs, that jingle, jangle, jangle by request, going out to Sean in Rutherford and going out to Rosalie in Englewood. Good choice, Rosalie. A couple from Miss Dinah Washington. Nobody knows the way I feel this morning, and a stranger on this earth. And without any further ado, I've got this very cool introduction queued up for Dr. Billy Taylor. So let's hear what they said about him at the International Association of Jazz Educators, where he was playing, well, a couple years ago. I was there.
At this time, I'm honored to introduce to you radio, television personality, author, composer, band leader, and artist. Please help me bring to the stage a true friend to IAJE, Dr. Billy Taylor.
Yeah, Billy Taylor and his long-standing trio will make their triumphant return to public performance Tuesday through Sunday, June 24th through the 29th at New York's famous jazz club, the Blue Note. As if you didn't know, 131 West 3rd Street, his very special guest is trumpeter John Faddis. The Billy Taylor trio is Chip Jackson on the bass, Winard Harper on the drums. And there's just too much to tell you about Dr. Billy Taylor to even be able to scratch the surface of his bio. He's equally at home on television. He's in his 21st season as a cultural commentator on CBS News Sunday Morning and on radio and at the piano. He's been busy building his upcoming Blue Note gig. He was just in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center for the Mary Lou Williams Women in Jazz Festival, which he just happened to found. And as he approaches his 80th birthday, Billy Taylor remains vigorously dedicated to nurturing jazz and creating new forums and opportunities for the artists who perform it. He encompasses that rare combination of creativity, intelligence, vision, commitment, and leadership, and all those qualities that make him one of our most cherished national treasures. And we are honored to welcome Dr. Billy Taylor to Anything Goes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you, on this beautiful, fine day when it's not raining.
I'll take it. I'll
yeah,
take it.
Really. Well, you know, this is kind of like when I was on the air with Marion McPartland, Dr. Billy. There's just too much. There's too much that you have done to even ask you intelligent questions. So I'm going to sort of fire away at you, if I could, just to get just a scratch the surface of some of the things that you've done. You were named musical director for the first series ever produced about jazz. The subject is jazz. You remember this at all in 1958?
Of course, sure.
And tell us about that house band.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I had my choice of musicians who were on staff at NBC in those days, because the show that I was starting to work on was housed in NBC, and we had people like Doc Severinsen and many others who were on staff there, and so I got a chance to work with some of the very fine musicians who were playing both jazz and other kinds of music on records and in every place you could think of. So mm-hmm. they were very busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it must have been something to put that jazz on television in 1958, when the country was changing in terms of its attitude toward race relations. And I mean, did you encounter any challenges with that?
Yes, but not from sources as far as jazz was concerned. As a matter of fact, jazz was one of the things back in 1958 that was really very well accepted and really we used it to help us integrate other areas that were taking a little longer than we hoped to take. to integrate.
I got you. So in the national mindset, it was okay for jazz musicians to be integrated and to be on TV, and it gave you the opportunity to make inroads in other areas.
That's true.
That's great. That's very cool. And in the 60s, you were working with your trio and hosting your own daily radio show on WLIB here in New York, and then you moved on to the classic station that everybody remembers so fondly, WNEW.
Yeah.
And were you playing, were you choosing the playlist there, or were you sort of
locked in?
In
the 12 years that I spent in commercial radio, I always played not only my choice of records, but my own records, because I had a very large collection of jazz records at that time.
Oh.
And so I was playing from my own collection of people that were not necessarily as popular as they later became, because I was playing people that, especially when I went to WNEW, I was playing things that many of the listeners there were not as familiar with, like John Coltrane. They were not familiar with John Coltrane.
You were playing Coltrane on NEWAM? That is amazing.
Sure. Yeah.
So cool.
I used to play his ballads, I mean, more than anything else, and relatively short cuts, but it was John Coltrane.
Wow, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Now I feel better, because I tote in about 800 pounds of CDs to Put Anything Goes Together.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, and then in the 1970s, by the way, we're talking to Dr. Billy Taylor here on Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery. It's 10:27 in the morning, and you were named musical director for what was an extraordinary TV show at the time, the David Frost Show. I mean, that was a place that everybody went through.
Well, David was unique in television at that time. I mean, he was one of the people that started the hour-long interviews of one person. I remember he did that with Richard Nixon. He did it with many people that just a full hour on one person, and people around him were saying, "Oh, you can't do that. I mean, you'll lose your audience. You'll do all that." But he did, and he did it very well.
Yeah, he was groundbreaking at the time, and to actually put a jazz band together on TV, you were sort of backing him up. I have to say, I was very young at the time, but
I guess so. No, he was really pioneering in that area, because he was he called me in to interview for the job.
Uh-huh.
He asked me what kind of music I would play, and I told him, I said, "Well, I'll play jazz." So he said, "Well, I had done another program that he was familiar with, and he knew the kind of music that I had played on that particular program."
Uh-huh.
And it was called "That Was the Week That Was," and that was one that he had actually started when he was still in London. And so he said, "Can you do anything, similar to the music you were playing on that on the show, and expanding it in any way?" So I said, "Sure, we can play anything you need for a talk show." And he said, "Fine." And that was the end of the interview. He hired me.
Hey,
good gig. And so the thing I loved about it, the 3 years that I worked with him, he opened every show. My cue was, "Okay, Billy." And then the show started.
Oh, Davey, that's terrific. That's terrific. Now, from in the late 70s into the early 80s, you were hosting your own radio program for NPR, Jazz Alive. Was that that was a syndicated program?
Yeah, it was on, in those days, NPR had something like 200 and some stations playing jazz, I don't know what happened in the interim, but it was really wonderful in those days, because we had all over the country, we had people. We actually, that the pro that I, program I was hosting traveled. The people traveled all around to gather the material so that we could play national and international things on the radio. And it was really exciting to hear all of the people that just came to our attention at the time.
Wow. Well, and which actually brings me to your recent appearance at Marion McPartland's birthday party. Just sort of that sort of jazz syndicated program segue. It was, you guys were really fabulous together. It was,
well, thank you.
What a room! What a room full of people! My gosh.
Well, Marion and I go back for many years, and as a matter of fact, I replaced her at the Hickory House after she
I didn't know that.
For one time. At one time, she had a lease on the place. I mean, nobody got in there but Marion for many, many places. And so when she finally decided that she was going to travel a lot more, I got a chance to play there on several occasions. We had a good relationship. She'd let me know when she was coming out and say, hey, man, you better call and check and see if you get the gig. And I got it.
Oh, very cool. That and around what time was that?
Oh, I don't know. It's back in the 50s.
Cool. But we're talking to Dr. Billy Taylor here on Anything Goes. I'm Lisa Avery, just about 10:31. And then, and I have to say, this is why my actual first lucid introduction to you is you began to appear on CBS Sunday Morning with Charles Kuralt, and you are responsible for teaching me an awful lot about jazz, just sort of bringing the personalities into my consciousness in addition to the music. And you're still at that, is that right, Dr. Billy?
Yeah, it's really very nice to be able to interview people and let them speak for themselves, you know, have them say, well, okay, this is what I did and why I did it and how I did it and so forth. And it's been really very something that I've enjoyed for many years, because I've gotten to know a lot more about the musicians whose work I admire and follow them a little more closely.
Well, I have to say I understand, because that's one of the joys of putting together Anything Goes is having the opportunity to talk to people like you on the radio. But I've got a personal question for you. Now,
sure.
You are returning to public performance at the Blue Note on June 24th through the 29th, and I know that I am a singer, and putting together this radio program, it has taken my energy away from my ability to perform. So how does that? I have not been able to quite find a balance, because it hurts when I'm not doing one or the other. And you've done so many different things to nurture jazz. How do you have you found balance?
Well, it's difficult now, because things are changing so much, and the music business has changed, and the music business altered the manner in which we listen to music in ways that I find very unfortunate. So one of the things that I try to do is to, as you are doing on the radio, introduce people to things that are present, things that have gone on in the past, which were very admirable, and things that I think they would enjoy, and give them possibilities, and say, well, look, you know, there's a lot of music out there to be listened to, and I try to give them a cross section of things that they can enjoy. And at the Kennedy Center, one of the things that I found very attractive was that I used to get a lot of people who were friends of mine as guests to come on the show and talk about their own work and play their own work and so forth. And that gave a lot of people all around the country another take on people whose work they were familiar with, but who were doing many things that the audience was not familiar with.
Sure.
And so it just I think it helped the music, and I know that many of the musicians that I was able to interview and to present for the first time went on to do other things that just are very exciting, and I'm very proud of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And giving people a look into the artistic process and what it takes, I think that it is really helpful to let people know how much work goes into the finished product, which they don't see. Now let's talk about you are back in public performance at the Blue Note next week. Congratulations! That sounds very, very exciting. And Mr. John Faddis is going to be there with you. And
yeah, I'm delighted that he was available.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite musicians. When I was on the David Frost show, he used to come in and. I only had an 11-piece band there, and so
only
frequently,
11?
yeah. Well, in those days you had 18 pieces and all that kind of stuff. But this was a very flexible band, and John would come and sit in with him with us a lot of times, because it was very exciting. He was a young man just coming to New York.
I was going to say, how old was he? About 12 at the time?
No, he was about 20 when I first heard him. And And he's incidentally, we share the same birthday. Both of our birthdays are celebrated on the 24th of July, and so that's why I know exactly how old he is, but I'm not telling anybody.
Oh, come on. We know how
I'll
old
tell my
you
own,
are.
I don't tell anybody else.
So, you mean after you hit 80, then you get to be an icon like there you,
you
and it's okay, right? And what have you got planned for your gig at the Blue Note along with John Faddis? Now, let me tell people, let me give people the phone number, because since we've been tantalizing them, you can call the Blue Note at 212-475-8592. And you're going to be doing two shows a night, Dr. Billy Taylor?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, it looks like an 8 and a 10:30. And boy, to see.
Yeah, and I've got Chip Jackson and Winnot Hopper, who are my co-workers, and so I'm looking forward to them. I have been doing some things with them recently. We played at Carnegie Hall about a week ago, and it's always a joy to have musicians of that caliber to play.
Wait a minute, let's back this up. You played Carnegie Hall. I see that you were at Carnegie. Let's see, you rang the opening bell.
Yeah,
New York Stocks.
Yeah.
Is that the Carnegie Hall?
Oh no, no,
this
no.
Another
a
one.
Week ago, we celebrated the 150th anniversary of the Steinway piano company.
Really?
And yeah, and so I emceed the song, the show, and played was one of the pianists who played. Ahmad Jamal and Ramsey Lewis and
wow.
Several other pianists were also on the bill.
Uh-huh. And last week when you were at Carnegie Hall, what were you doing, Dr. Bill?
That's what I was doing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now I got it straight. Now yeah. I got it straight. That's very cool. You're going to have to start paying rent at Carnegie Hall, I think.
How about that?
Yeah. So let's see. They can go to BlueNoteJazz.com and tell us what you've got on the bill. You've been planning it for quite some time, your return to public performance. So what kind of music have you chosen to play?
Well, basically, I'm doing some things that I've written, but I'm going back and looking at a couple of things that I wasn't playing very much recent performances. So I thought I'd just take another look at some of those, some original compositions, and just some of my favorite standards that, things that I maybe not played as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go with the vibe of the gig too, in terms of determining what it is that you're going to play.
Yeah,
yeah, I can.
Well, I have the Blue Note is a place I enjoy playing. I've been there. Several years ago, I spent a week playing celebrating my birthday of that time with a whole bunch of guys that were favorites. So every night I had a different group.
Ooh.
And that was really a lot of fun. Well, the Blue, they like to do things like that.
Well, and it's a small venue, so you can really sort of
do that.
Reach out and touch the artists. Well, not literally, of course, that would be annoying.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure, I've got two albums of yours, Dr. Billy Taylor, in my hand. I've got Urban Griot, which I think is the, that came out on your own record label, Soundpost, right?
Uh-huh.
And you've got...
actually, both of them are on my record label.
Oh, they are? You're actually, okay. And the one that you recorded live at the IAJE, thank heaven, is going to be here again this year, Toronto. People can get these do you have a website? Is Dr. you gonna tell us?
Yeah, actually my website is www.billytaylorjazz.com.
Okay, BillyTaylorJazz.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. And you are, I'm going to tell people one more time, you're going to be at the Blue Note Tuesday through Sunday, pretty much all next week.
Right.
You're going to be tired on Monday, doing two gigs, 8 p.m. and 10:30 p.m., along with John Faddis. And the prices are more than reasonable. It's really kind of, it's like fabulous, legendary music for free, guys. And for reservations at the Blue Note, 212-475-8592. And we wish you a happy birthday in advance. Dr. Billy, you're going to be 80 or you're going to be 81?
No, actually, I'll be 82.
82?
Yeah.
You go. Doesn't seem like you've slowed down a whole lot, actually. And thank you so much for joining us here on Anything Goes. It's really been a pleasure and a privilege. And please feel free to keep us posted as to what you're doing, because we would love to hear from you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have enjoyed this great day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Dr. Billy Taylor. And 10:40 in the morning. I'm Lisa Avery, bringing you a hit mix of swing, jazz, standards, Broadway, and a little bit of just about anything else. And let's hear something from... That's Pot Billy Down. Let's hear another one from Urban Griot, the Billy Taylor Trio. This one is called Reclamation. And then we'll give away some tickets to see Hank Williams' Lost Highway. So stick around.